Today's guest on Medeo Scientific's The Business of LoRaWAN is Brandon DeLita. Brandon is the regional sales director at Multitech, where he spent the last several years helping enterprise customers deploy LoRaWAN and cellular networks at scale. With over 25 years of experience in telecom and IoT, Brandon brings a business-focused lens to wireless networking, translating technical solutions into operational wins for smart buildings, utilities, oil and gas, and more. In this conversation, we get into how Multitech is making LoRaWAN more accessible, from onboard network servers and edge intelligent gateways to smart building integrations using BACnet. We also talk through the real bottlenecks in smart infrastructure, like fragmented networks and the complexities of onboarding sensors at scale, and how Multitech is tackling those with API-driven orchestration and hybrid connectivity strategies. Brandon lays out why LoRaWAN isn't just competing with, but complementing, cellular, Bluetooth, and NFC, and why he sees ubiquitous utility-style LoRaWAN coverage as the next big opportunity. If you're in the business of deploying real-world IoT, this episode will give you insight into how LoRaWAN is evolving to meet enterprise demands without losing sight of scalability or cost efficiency. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Brandon DeLita. Brandon, thanks a ton for coming on the show today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Happy to be here.
I'm psyched to have you on. Multitech is a well-known player in the LoRaWAN system, LoRaLiance stuff, like all of that. I wanted to focus on a bunch of the experience that you have because you've been in this scene for a while. Let's start off with this idea of designing different LoRaWAN networks for different business models. Can you talk me through what that means?
No, that's great. So it kind of really started out when we joined as you mentioned, we're one of the founding members of the LoRaWAN Alliance. And one of the first things that we brought to the table joining the Alliance is we said, hey, we want to put a LoRa network server on the gateway so companies could build out private LoRaWAN networks. And that's evolved over time. You know, today, traditionally, you have a gateway, it's a packet forwarder to a cloud-based LNS, right? Great for scalability, nationwide global type deployments. But when you have an onboard LNS, you know, you might have a private network or you have a single site or whatever, and there's a lot of businesses that want to use that. Or it depends on your business model, right? You know, it's a CapEx business play versus an OpEx using a cloud-based LNS. And then over time, that's evolved. So we can take, you know, we got an LNS that runs on a gateway, and you might have a private network. You could add additional gateways as packet forwarders pointed to that main gateway running the LNS. And then another platform that we have, and doesn't really get talked a lot about, but we have a platform called Lens, which stands for LoRa Enterprise Network Services, where we abstract the join server and we put that up into a cloud-based instance in AWS. So what that allows for is companies that want to do edge intelligence at the gateway level or at the actual on-site level, and they want to maybe be able to send data from the gateway directly through a secure network to their backend platform or maybe locally to an on-premise server, for example, but you still need that central join server for adding DevUIs and keys for scalability and management. It's really an enterprise play. There's a lot of, you know, Fortune 500 companies that want to have that edge intelligence, or they want the data from the gateway to be sent directly to their platform. But when you have an onboard LNS, you don't have that scalability with adding, you know, keys and stuff. So
interesting. So, and so this sounds like for companies, as you're pitching this, is really comes down to kind of privacy and security.
Privacy, security, you know, business model. I would also say too that a lot of times it reduces bandwidth over the data traffic over the WAN connection. So if you got a cellular backhaul, those cellular data plans, you know, can be costly, right?
Yeah.
So if we're not sending all that everybody's traffic over that connection and just our data that we want to see, that can also reduce some costs as well. So
got it. And how does that break down as far as usually manufacturing kind of companies will like this type and smart cities will like that type? Like, what do you see as far as how that plays out?
I would say enterprise companies that are bringing out their own, want to build out their own networks, that they want to manage their own networks themselves, this tends to be a business model that they like and prefer. But if we got more hybrid, private, public networks and stuff like that, packet forwarding might make more sense.
Got it. Yeah, that lines up with kind of how I understand the whole thing. Now, I know that smart buildings are something that you're psyched on. Smart buildings seem to be, for a number of reasons, kind of the next big thing in LoRaWAN, which is funny to me because like smart buildings are so boring, but at the same time, it's like super exciting to think that we're about to get all these things connected in.
Yeah.
Maybe we do a cool little plug for Multitech here and say,
talk to me about the conduit line and what makes this thing special and specifically kind of useful for smart buildings.
Yeah, no, great. So, you know, Conduit is kind of our name for our brand name for our LoRaWAN gateways. Over the last maybe about 2 years ago, and it's still a work in progress, but we added the ability to take LoRaWAN data and convert that to BACnet IP on a gateway. So that really brings us now into the more integrated into the smart building space where we can take, you know, hook into a controller and we can now start sending LoRaWAN traffic into a building management system, right? And we're not developing that cloud platform. We're using the LNS on the gateway. And what excites me about that is, and this is the beauty of LoRaWAN, and I think why LoRaWAN has really scaled and the adoption has been so successful is its openness, right? So there's over 384, last I checked, there was over 384 companies worldwide that were making LoRaWAN sensors. So as long as they make their decoders available, right? If you go on the TTN, Things Networks, GitHub, I don't know, 80, 90% of the decoders are up there. We're working on being able to pull those. You can get any sensor into a building management system. Say, for example, Tritium's Niagara platform, right? And you're going to go, okay, I want a leak sensor. I want a temp humidity sensor. I want to do indoor air quality, people counting. You know, anything you could think of, you can make a smart building, you know? And the other thing, and I was thinking about this last night about things to talk about today, we talk about smart buildings. It's, you know, yeah, new construction, it's really easy to run wires and stuff for sensors and stuff. But a lot of times you get these calls and it's like, hey, I've got a courthouse. I've got a museum or a lot of infrastructure in Europe. That's, you know, how do I modernize these buildings? Because these buildings aren't going away, right? How do we modernize these things and make them smart? And LoRaWAN allows that to happen, right? Because of the good in-building penetration, the ability to add sensors without running wires. You know, you've got, you know, good range, and then obviously the tremendous battery life that LoRaWAN provides.
Okay. I mean, BACnet is the big thing. And for folks who don't know, what is it? Building Automation Controls is probably what BAC stands for.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I'm gonna take a guess at that. But it's something I see kind of repeated over and over again, whether it's Alper, the CEO of the LoRa Alliance talking about it, or Olivier at Actility saying like, hey, this is the next big thing, is that all these buildings already have this built in. They just don't always have the connectivity that they might want, which is what LoRaWAN provides. What do you think is going to be the bottleneck there? Are there enough people to kind of do this stuff? Or is it just like, hey, we only have 20 engineers who understand this in the world, or 40 or whatever it is, and there's just like, you know, a million buildings. There's just our numbers in the way there.
I think what the bottleneck is going to be, and we're trying to solve this bottleneck right now. What I've noticed in this space is a lot of intelligent people in the smart building space. They know networking, they know TCP/IP, they know all the different protocols. They a lot of these master systems integrators know how to develop and write code. So there's a tremendous amount of talent. I think where the issue is and what we're trying to figure out is a lot of these are private networks, right? So you're putting a gateway on a private network. They're very fragmented. For example, let's just say you've got a chain of 50 gas stations, right? And they're going to put in LoRaWAN at all these stations and integrate it into their building automation system. They're private networks, right? So maybe 6 months or a year down the road, we go, hey, we want to add these LoRaWAN sensors to the system that already exists. Well, you either got to roll a truck or you got to have VPN access, right? So a technician maybe sits down at their office for the day and they got to VPN in and manually add those sensors, right? So what we're trying to solve is how do we allow for a central pane of glass in that building management system to manage and scale the network? And those things are being looked at and worked on, but that's kind of, I would say, the big bottleneck right now, because systems are fragmented and cloud connectivity is very limited or even forbidden in this space.
I mean, it's always been funny to me, as long as I've known about IoT, that it is filled, like packed to the gills with really smart people. And there still isn't kind of an apple of IoT yet, where it's super easy to use and it's all intuitive and you don't need to know any code, like it just works. And it seems like a lot of companies are working on that. You know, one of the most obvious things when you first come into in a LoRaWAN is like, okay, I'm going to onboard a sensor. Let me type out this, you know, 16 character, whatever it is, every time. Yep. Are you guys doing anything to address just making the onboarding of sensors, gateways, whatever, easier?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked. That's a very important question. You know, a lot of times, right, you order, you go on Amazon or you even order from my company, you order a sensor, right, and you get a little card. And maybe there's a QR code that you can scan to get the dev UIs and the keys, or you got to put your reading glasses on and type in all those PEX numbers and stuff, and it's complicated. You know, historically, maybe you send a CSV file or a spreadsheet that's got all that. That's not very secure, right? It's not really a best practice, in my opinion. So some of the things that we've recently developed and we're piloting with some companies is the onboarding and orchestration of LoRaWAN sensors and gateways. So, for example, you know, we make a LoRaWAN module that OEMs might design in that are building their own LoRaWAN sensors, right? And let's just say we ship them 10,000 of these modules. Well, during manufacturing, what we can do is have APIs into their LNS, for example. So when we make a shipment, we can send over those dev UIs and those keys and automatically automate that, load that into their LNS at time of manufacturing, and then send out a notification or whatever that this has been completed. So when they build that and send that out, all that stuff is already done, and these sensors magically should just go on board and work, you know? Yeah, great. Great to do QR codes and scan that stuff for single sensors, but as we scale and we got businesses that are starting to deploy the stuff in the thousands or tens of thousands, these things are going to be really crucial. So,
yeah. Putting it one time, like, it makes you feel like a competent nerd. A couple times, you're like, oh, I'm really getting in the swing of this thing. And then when you have to do 10 or 20, you're like, okay, there's got to be a better way. And got it 10,000. Like you can't do that manually. So there's definitely that bottleneck that you absolutely have to solve there. One of the things I'm also seeing in LoRaWAN is this big push. So there's this big push to smart buildings. And then there's this, it seems like a pretty big push towards this idea of integration across technologies, really communications technologies, for the best fit for a customer. So these companies that I think of as LoRaWAN companies, and of course this business or this podcast is about the business of LoRaWAN, are also saying, hey, there are great times to use LTE, or sometimes we'll use NFC or Bluetooth or whatever it is for these different pieces. Can you talk about what Multitech might be doing in that realm where you're saying, hey, we're going to combine NFC and LoRaWAN in these specific applications?
Yep. Here's what I say. I go, not all one technology is the be-all, end-all, right? They all complement each other, right? So when you're hanging out with a dinner party on Friday, like, hey, what do you do? What are you working on, right? And you mentioned this LoRaWAN, right? And your wife cringes.
We've all had it.
There's a lot of wireless technologies out of there, but we all know what cellular is. We all know what LTE is, 4G, 5G, et cetera. We know what Bluetooth is. We know what Wi-Fi is. I think that fourth pillar is LoRaWAN. And I will say they all complement each other and they not all solve one problem, right? I would say things that we should be looking into and I think that are important. One of the things that we do is we work with companies that say, hey, we're not an IoT company. We're not an engineering company. Let's develop this solution together for us or whatever. And so we've done some, I think, integrating Bluetooth into LoRaWAN endpoints is going to be really important. I haven't seen a ton of it yet, but, you know, it's all about volumes and costs and stuff like that. But when we've got Bluetooth in the LoRaWAN endpoint and we've got one of these magic devices called a smartphone, right? That we could onboard sensors that way over Bluetooth. We could do push firmware updates or configuration changes over Bluetooth. So I think that's going to be becoming more and more important. We're not there yet, but I think that's just inevitable. Yeah, and possibly NFC. You know, we've looked at that in the past and maybe that's a thing moving forward. I like the Bluetooth because you got a little bit more better range than the NFC, but NFC can be very inexpensive. You know, you do a chip down tag or whatever, and it's pennies, right, to integrate that. So,
yeah, and I've got a video somewhere on YouTube of the first time I encountered NFC, and it's just like me 12 minutes trying to get my phone in the right place because it's kind of centimeter accuracy there is what counts. And
yes.
I got all these comments like, oh, you boomer, you don't know how to use that. I'm like,
I think if you can get the cost of BLE down, you know, or, you know, maybe we start seeing BLE and LoRa integrated into the same chips or whatever, you know. I think that's what I see dominating over NFC possibly, but I could be wrong.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like the big thing for you guys that is in the direct future is this idea of, hey, you want to onboard 10,000 sensors. This is something that we have this kind of inbuilt capability to do.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you see that you're super excited about in LoRaWAN over the next 6 months to a year? That you guys are doing, or that the industry in general is kind of going in this direction. You're like, oh, this is going to be so cool.
I guess the answer to that is maybe we're there with helium or whatever, and that's kind of a, you're either on board or you're off board.
Sure.
But the idea of having LoRaWAN as a utility almost and kind of ubiquitous coverage, so you could order LoRaWAN sensor and you just have coverage whether you want them in your home or wherever you're at, and you're not worried about installing and managing and deploying gateways.
It's a big deal. And there's the funny thing is, I heard this amazing stat the other day that, finally, you mentioned helium. I was talking to some of the folks there about this roaming thing, because roaming is, I think, one of the next big things in LoRaWAN for exactly the reason you mentioned, is that if you could just order a sensor and not worry about checking your map to see if there's a gateway nearby, the sensor just works. That's a really big deal for LoRaWAN.
Yeah. Yep.
Helium has, and I haven't heard anyone who has said like, this is wrong, so I keep saying it, but Helium has the largest LoRaWAN in the world right now. So a couple hundred thousand gateways.
I think it might be over a million by now. I don't know. Last I checked, it was like 800,000 or something like that.
So they went up to 800,000, and then that was during the kind of the peak of the crypto craze. And then it's now back down as people like, oh, it's not worth it to keep it on for whatever, $20 a month or whatever they're making on crypto.
Yeah.
But they do have this giant worldwide network. And because it's LoRaWAN, it's just radios that are listening. Radios don't know not to listen to a multi-tech gateway, like, and only listen for a Helium gateway. So they just pick up all LoRaWAN and all LoRa-like signals, so everything in that 902-928 range. And then those signals get routed to the Helium packet routed, HPR, before they go to an LNS, because it has to know kind of where to go. If it's a Helium, it's going to take just a second to go through this, but I think it's crazy. Yeah. If the packet says like, hey, I'm coming from a Helium gateway, it gets routed to the right LNS. If it doesn't, and it's not paid for, it just gets discarded. It's an unrouted packet. There are 5 to 7, this is the stat that blew my mind, 5 to 7,000 packets per second that are unrouted.
Oh, wow.
So that's all of the LoRaWAN and all the LoRa, like, you know, radios in the world are doing that. So it's like, okay, the possibility exists, if we can get roaming down, to have ubiquitous LoRa coverage. So like we're close. It's just not there yet, but super exciting that that's what you're also excited about.
Yeah. Well, it's asset tracking, you know, and it's cold chain. There's so many different things, right?
Yeah.
Amazon package. I don't know, you know.
Yeah. No, it's cool how it can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Ripping, dude, I know you're busy crushing for Multitech. Thanks a ton for making the time to come on and share a bunch with us about what you guys are doing in LoRaWAN. Thanks, man.
Awesome. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you, so whether you're a business owner, a LoRaWAN professional, or a hobbyist, the intent is to give you great LoRaWAN information. Of course, the best information doesn't come from me, it comes from the conversations we have with the people building and deploying this tech in the real world. And that's where you come in. LoRaWAN is a global patchwork of talent and ideas, and ironically for a globally connected network, most of the brilliant folks working on it aren't connected yet. Help me change that. Introduce me to someone awesome in your network, someone doing meaningful work in LoRaWAN, or just shoot me a name. I'll take it from there and get them on the show so we can share their work with the world. You can always find me at metsci.show. That's metsci.show, metsci.show. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can subscribe, leave a review, share it with your corner of the world. All of those are super helpful. If you'd like to support financially, you can go to support.metsci.show for both one-time and recurring options. We're also open to sponsors. If your company serves the LoRaWAN community and you want to reach this dedicated audience, let's talk. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, create a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 DC for free, which is enough to run a device sending hourly for about a year. This show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.